So here we are in the second Sunday of Advent, the Sunday that is generally referred to as the Sunday of Peace. And as I was looking at the texts and was reminded that we read something from the Old Testament virtually every Sunday, something that's far removed, I think we can safely say, from most of us, the thing that struck me, or the word that the Holy Spirit brought to me, was memory. And I thought, well, what's that? What's memory and peace? How do those go together? And then I was reminded that we are reminded of what God said will happen. When we look at our texts today, we see in Malachi that we have this foretelling. Prophets aren't always about looking into the future. Often they're just about talking about what's going on now and saying, this is what God says about this current situation and we should pay attention. But now and then, the prophets do speak into the future, or at least looking ahead to things. And Malachi says, I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And that's something going into the future. And we're reminded when we read Malachi 3, 1 to 4, that God has put things in place that will happen. And if we look at this as either a prophecy relating to John the Baptist or to Jesus or to both, we can look at it and say, well, on the basis of what we understand of the New Testament, this was said would happen and it will. And it did. Paul reminds us that he remembers. In his case, he's saying, I thank my God every time I remember you, to the people at Philippi. And he's looking at memory to give him, if we look at the rest of the book, hope for the future, joyful moments of remembering what it was like to be with them. And memory is an important part of what's going on for Paul in his current situation when he remembers the people of Philippi. Luke rehearses what's going on and anchors it in events external to what the other gospels relate. It's not just about what Jesus did and what Jesus' parents did. It's other things. We see the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius. We've got some external things to hang things on to help us remember when this happened. All through the Bible, repeatedly in the Bible, we are exhorted to remember. Well, why? Well, there's at least two reasons. And the first is it's memory of the past which gives us context to the present. If we don't remember the past, it's really hard for us to know what's going on right now. And that's something that we are often forced to experience when we deal with our loved ones who are losing memories. If you don't remember that you had children, when your child comes to visit you, they're a stranger. We have to have that memory to give us a structure of everything. And that's just one of the things that memory does for us. And that's one of the things that the Bible tells us to remember. So we have a context, we have that structure. And the other is to remember the promises that God has made. God has frequently promised that peace is coming. I don't know about you, but no matter how peaceful I am, no matter how peaceful my home is, no matter how peaceful my relationships are, I don't have to look very far to see that peace isn't universal. And on this, the Sunday of Peace, I think it's okay for us to think at least momentarily about universal peace, or about at least a much larger peace, where everyone is not in active conflict. Imagine. And if we don't remember that God promised that, we will have no hope for it in the future. If there's one thing that human beings have demonstrated, it's that we're not good at peace. One military theorist I read once said that peace is a word that we give for the fact that sometimes there aren't wars. And I think that's not such a bad definition. And if we're stuck with that, if that's the best we can hope for, is that every once in a while there's nobody at war, that's a pretty low bar, isn't it? And so if we look at the promises that God has given, Old Testament, New Testament, talked about peace, that we shall have lions lying down with lambs, and all of those things, those great metaphors and images of peace, if all we do is look at those, they're hard to believe, aren't they? They are. They're hard to believe because they were said long ago, and I don't see it. Yes, I've seen pictures of lions lying down with lambs because they were raised together. They're lovely pictures. Overall, I don't see peace everywhere. But then I remember it isn't just peace that God has talked about, that Holy Scripture has explained to us. We have other things in Scripture where we are said that, for example, Jesus came to give us life that we might have it to the full. Well, what does that mean? Well, for many of us, what it means is that we have been released from that ongoing sense of an angry, judgmental, punishing God, and into a God who loves us, who loved us before we loved God, who loved us before the beginning of the world, who loved us before the beginning of anything. And that has released us from this sense of always looking over our shoulder for God to, as my camp kids used to say, squash us like a bug, because that's not God. That's our own bad image of God. And when we've been released from that, we are moved much closer to having a life that we can live to the full. We see over and over again, particularly in the New Testament writings, where we are told that a life in relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, makes us better people to those around us and better people to ourselves. We are exhorted to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, to love God with our heart, soul, and mind. And when we do these things, we suddenly find that we do love our neighbors who we previously disliked or were just unaware of. These things happen, and we look at them and we go, wait a second. Paul said that nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And when I started to believe that, I realized I was loved from all time. And I was able to love more. And we look at Scripture and we say, Scripture says lots of things that have happened. We see some prophecies that appear to have been fulfilled in human history. We have a number of these promises that are made to us that as we do these things, as we open ourselves to the gift of the Holy Spirit coming within us and helping us to become all that we were created to be and all that we really want to be, we see the reality of the fulfillment of those promises, and it makes some of these other promises that we haven't seen yet a little more easy to believe. I long for peace, and I think all of us do. It's only, December 5th, less than a month since November 11th, when we took some time to think seriously about the consequences of not peace and its death and destruction. I want peace, and so do you. And we look for it, and when we don't see it, instead of going to Scripture for those individual passages that talk about peace on its way and saying they're not true, so I'm not going to believe any of it, we're better off if we go to those other parts of Scripture where we can see them happening. Where I can look at the life I live now and compare it to the life I lived 40 years ago and say, this is so much living my life to the full that there's no comparison. 40 years ago is not a time I want to go back to. Sure, I was younger and had more energy and could run for longer, but that's about it. I don't want to go there because I wasn't living a full life because I didn't even know I could in the way that I do now. Our memory and the collective memory of church history and of Scripture is what gives us confidence in what God says to us. That when we're told that the day is coming when there will be peace, we can look forward with optimism and confidence to that day, whether we see it or not. In the same way that we look at those passages of Scripture that say that our children will be okay, yes, we realize that our children go through difficulties and things, but overall it gives us that sense, that reminder that God loves our children as much as God loves us. As much as God loved our parents, God loves us because God loves us all. No one is outside the circle of God's love because God loved God's creation even before it was made. It's an extraordinary thing. And so when we're looking at the dismal picture of the world sometimes, we just think, it has to come. I want it to come soon. It's not here yet, but I know it will. I know that in the right time, whatever that is, that peace will be known by all people. There's a prayer that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. And I say attributed to St. Francis of Assisi because we don't think he wrote it himself. It's sort of different than a lot of his other stuff. But it's such a wonderful thing. And what it does is it reminds us when we look forward to peace and we're worried that we don't see it anywhere, we need to remember that our circle of influence doesn't include the whole world. It includes us. It includes me. My circle of influence begins with me, and in a very real sense, it ends with me. My influence goes on. But my circle of influence, the people I can influence, are only those that are connected to me. And so as we read this prayer, I think it's a good reminder for us to remember, use our memories again, that we are called to be peacemakers. We are not called to bring peace to the entire creation, the entire world, our country, our city, our neighborhood, maybe not even. But we are called to be peacemakers, to be those people who bring peace wherever we go. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope, where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. These are words that all of us can take to heart, and we can do. They are not scripture, but they are informed by the reality of God calling each of us to remember that we are here to bring peace. Other things also, but let's not forget we're called to bring peace. If each of us, in our two congregations and in this joint community of faith, were to take seriously this call upon us, it might not change the whole world, but it will change our neighborhoods at least a bit. It'll change the stores we go to. It'll change the way we drive. It'll change a bunch of things, all of which are to the good. As we wait for the ultimate peace promised in Scripture, we don't have to just sit and do nothing while we wait. We can be part of moving towards that. We can be part of making the world a better place while we wait as patiently as we can for the ultimate peace, when all things will be well in a way that no one can deny. Amen.